All right, y'all. Raise your hand if you're the healthy shaker. Are you a healthy shake person? You're like all health? Yep. Yep. Now, how about the all sweet? Some of you are like, no, I'm right down the fairway. I don't even need this talk. And your community group's like, no, you're not. That's good. Good to know who you are. There's a little bit more of a resource there at the bottom. 10 things not to do as far as speaking the truth in love. But now for the jelly bellies. If you have not yet eaten the jelly bellies and you don't know how to follow rules, then you can now grab one of the jelly belly cups. Everyone needs to have one of those jelly belly cups. You've got in front of you three colors. I'm colorblind, but what I understand them to be is yellow, green, and brown. All right. Now, on the count of three, I would like you all to eat the yellow jelly belly. 3, 2, 1. Eat it. Such trusting friends you are. What flavor is that? Pineapple. Pineapple. Good or bad? Yeah, pretty good. You're like, after that shake, I don't know if I want to put anything in my mouth that y'all made. All right, now I want you to take the green one. Grab the green one. And on the count of three, we're going to pop that one. 3, 2, 1. Chomp that. Yeah, that got everything quiet. What flavor is that? What? Christmas tree, I've heard. What other flavor do you think that might be? Huh? Apple? No. That's grass clippings. Grass clippings. Just kind of savor it, breathe through your nose a little, like the wine, like kind of, oh yeah, grass clippings. It's got more earth tones. So I've got like looks of betrayal on your faces, like, why did you do that? All right, now take the brown one. Got your attention now. Take the brown one, pass it to the person on your right. And 3, 2, 1, eat the brown. Here we go. What's that one? Chocolate. A little bait and switch. You thought I was going to give you something really bad after that grass clippings. Here's the thing. That grass clippings, that is called the Bean Boozled series of Jelly Bellies. That was what you call grace. They come in stinky sock flavor, curdled milk, barf, which actually made one of our team members throw up when she ate it, booger, which those of you who laughed, that means you know what boogers taste like, which is personally convicting. Like sick flavors. So we chose grass clippings. You're welcome. That was Lindsay Hall. You should thank her that she didn't choose curdled milk or barf flavored, because it could have been. And those three things represent something that I'm going to unpack for you. Those three things. The first one represents something good that you ingest. The second one represents something bad that we all ingest. And the third one represents something amazing that we want to give to other people. The first one represents things of God, how we feed our spirit. We are spirit, he is spirit, how we feed ourselves something good. The second represents something bad. It looked good initially. It looked good on the outside. It had the Jelly Belly branding. It was shiny and green. Scott thought it was going to be apple flavored, but it was bad. It was grass clippings. It was a bait and switch, and that represents sin. And isn't that what Satan does to us with sin? It's just like, it looks so appealing. It's going to be good in the moment. It's going to give me what I want. It tastes sweet initially. You bite into it. And then afterwards, you're like, what was that? Why did I eat that? And then the third one, chocolate, represents something good you have that you want to give to something else, something really delightful. That is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, which represents discipleship, evangelism, giving or serving in the name of Christ. And so those are things that have transformed our community group. Let me tell you a little bit about that. And this is being recorded. I'm now on record. I didn't used to like, I'm not going to use the word hate, because we're in a church building, but I didn't used to like going to my men's community group time. So we've got our couples time, and then we would have our men's time. And y'all, It was a beating to me. I didn't like it. It was what Noah Brown just said was like I kind of explained it to him. He's like, oh yeah, it's like a feeding frenzy. Like when you chum the waters with a little bit of blood and then it's just like a frenzy of sharks. What I found is that we lived not the six community values. We lived one community value, which was admonish faithfully. And so it was like, you know, like standoff, like, like Old West. And if anybody said something like, man, I kind of had a rough week, I was a little short with my wife, it was like, really? Boom, boom, boom. What do you mean? It was like, holy. Like, and so I just learned to like, man, you just got to like go in there and be quiet. This was a relatively new group for me. It was a foundation group from like 13 years ago that had changed into a transition group. Some people had come and gone, which should have been an indicator to me, but Laura and I stepped into that group and was like, whoa, this is like, you guys got that value down, good, but what about the others? So it came around to community group assessment time, and I took the assessment, and they were all like, you know, they all aced the test, and then our group leader, who is our campus pastor, if you know who that is, was like, we had one dissenting voter on the assessment. And I'm the new guy. They've all been in community for 13 years. So they're like, it's like, well, cat's out of the bag. And I knew it was coming. So I pulled out my assessment. I was like, whoa. I was like, well, let me tell you. Is it still on? Sorry. Got a little excited there about the admonish faithfully. I was like, yep, I thought you'd probably ask. Let's see here. These are the six values. We're hitting one. And we're killing one. No pun intended. And he was like, JP was like, well, what do you recommend? Which is, I mean, he's like the most teachable guy, man. Our servant leader of this campus is awesome. Like one of my closest friends, love the guy. And so rather than being admonished faithfully in that moment, he's like, well, what do you recommend? And I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, if we got to hit these six values, I think we got to change our time. I think we got to have direction. And I think we need to have some intentional questions because right now it's kind of this like amorphous spaghetti plate of, you know, kind of whatever happens. We're talking about mortgages to finances to angry at my wife to not sleep. It's like all over the place. And we're giving each other good like life counsel, but I feel like we need to like corral this in so we're hitting the values. And those three questions that we kind of arrived at, and maybe you heard him unpack these as he spoke recently, are the three there, the one, two, three that you've got, which I believe lead to health, growth, and mission. To summarize that keep your groups, and what I would say, because I've lived it, has transformed our group time. Whereas truly, I used to be like, man, it's a beating, both like literally and figuratively, to now, it's like, I love it. And we're getting real with each other. We're getting honest. We're praying after confession. It's like, speak the truth. And it's just been like a game changer. I mean, go figure. We got those six values. They're there for a reason. And so as we compacted those down into these three questions, like, dude, I love it. And God's at work. And it's been really good. So the first one is, how have you fed your spirit this week? It's all about feeding. That's why I entitled this one Soul Food, this side of the handout, Soul Food, because it's all about feeding. And it's, how are you feeding your spirit? How are you feeding the flesh? And how are you feeding others? And so that's the point here. And so as we talk about how you feed your spirit, what do you guys think about when I say, how do you feed your spirit? What comes to mind? What are ways that you feed your spirit? Quiet times, prayer, and worship. Yeah, so we like have like kind of the big three, maybe big four. Some of you may put fellowship in that bucket. I would say essential ones would be Bible, prayer, fellowship, worship. Our whole of life should be worship. But we need to be led by the word. John 17:17, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Prayer, and then fellowship. Encourage one another daily so you won't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It's not just on your community group night. We've got that little deal value called pursue relationally. Man, it's like ongoing throughout the week. I've got a community group couples thread and a guys thread, and it's just a tennis match. I mean, all day throughout work of people like, pray for this. Just share the gospel with whoever, pray for her, invited this person. Well, you guys, I'm going into a big meeting. Kids are being, it's just tennis match back and forth. And those things are good and they're essential. But I would say that is not, while those are feeding your spirit, We all have different tastes and we're all wired up differently with different personalities. Like God and his amazing kindness and creativity. I mean, you look at the animal kingdom. Well, we are that spiritually. We're just wired differently. We don't all have the same taste. Like in the same way that someone gave Laura and I a Sur La Table cooking class gift card. And I'm like, I mean, like, throw it in the back seat. I'm like, I don't want to go to a cooking, like mince onions and now saute. I want to sit down at a restaurant and someone bring it to me. But for them, they're like, oh, cooking class, that'll be the best date for you and Laura. It's like, no, it won't. I don't want to cook. Like, we got three kids. That sounds horrible. We eat Papa John's 5 nights a week. Even if I would go to a class, I couldn't implement it. Like, it's wasted. So we got a skillet with that gift card. But that's how all of us are. We want to like, here, this is that gift. You know what you need to do to feed your spirit this week? You need to go out to a cabin in East Texas and turn off your phone. Don't talk to anybody. And just like meditate on your favorite verse. And you're like, that sounds like prison. Why did you just tell me that? Like, you don't, that's horrible. And the other person's like, no, what you need to do is you need to get out a pen and paper and just put on some Shane and Shane and sketch and just draw and draw your emotions with colored pencils. And you're like, did you relapse back into psychedelic mushrooms or acid? Why did you just say that? You just said that out loud. What you need to do is get C.S. Lewis, The Great Divorce, or The Problem of Pain, and you need to unpack the theological, like we're all different. There's actually 9 of these tracks, and you've got a link there. North Point Church has this assessment. It's 50 questions. Joe Daly may pull it up, but it's like, it's a little 50-question assessment. It'll take you 5 minutes, and it will spit out to you, if you don't know who you are, kind of how you connect with God. And there's 9 different things. They're those kind of weird words that are there, but it'll give you a description. But I think what oftentimes we do is we're like, I did it. I did it to a guy in my community group. He's like, man, I'm reading Metaxas' Bonhoeffer, and then I'm going to do Luther. And I'm like, hey man, you probably need to read the Bible. And he's like, I don't, like he's an intellectual and a contemplative, so it's exactly not what he needed to do. He needed to like read about some of the great people of faith and like think about the theology and all those things. And so we try to put these things on each other. Just know what yours is and feed your spirit and do it on a weekly basis. Because what we tend to do is be like, we'll get in our community groups and it's like, all right, 3 questions, how'd you feed your spirit? And it's like, well, I did my quiet time 6 out of 7 days of the week. And it's like, that's not what I'm asking. That's a given. Like, spend daily time in the Word. How'd you feed your soul, man? Like, what made you come alive for God? Did you scream in your car with the sunroof open the way I know you love to do? Have you gotten outside this week? Because I know you connect with God through nature. Have you drawn, which is JP, he's an incredible artist. Like, he sketches in his Bible. He will sketch Psalms. Like, that's one of his things. Or take a bath with candles, which I didn't tell you that, but... And then we've got the contemplatives and the intellectuals in our group, these 2 engineers from A&M, and like that's not at all what they need to do. If you tell them to take a bath, they're like, you know, like rear back, like that's stupid. Like, but we need to encourage each other, like feed your soul, man. Like, I know you're gonna be spending time in the Word. I know you're gonna pray. I know we're gonna have fellowship, but feed your soul. The thing that makes you come alive, do it. And encourage each other. Have those affection stirs and encourage each other to it. The second one is, how did you feed their flesh this week? Because we can tend to get into the, we want to talk about the good and all that. Like, that's the fun part. But we also got to get in the deep end too. Because, you know, there's gunpowder in those little like snap pops, like whippersnappers, you know, those gunpowder. But I mean, you can like smack them in your hand and it doesn't hurt that bad. But you start to unwrap all those things and take all that gunpowder and put it in a barrel, you'll blow your house up. You will destroy your world. But if you leak them one at a time, if you pop them one at a time, that being sin, makes a little bit of noise, may get your attention a little bit, but it's relatively harmless. But you start packing that stuff away for a month, 2 months, a quarter, because you're not confessing sin in your community group, man, that's gonna get big enough, it's gonna blow you up. And so what you do is you confess early and often. And the ones in this room, y'all are the leaders. And I mean leaders by your presence, that you're like, man, on Thursday night, I wanna go get equipped. I wanna go learn more about God and his way and be healthy. And so you go first and you say, man, this is what I need to confess this week. And then you pray for that person, right? I should have made that a pop quiz, but you pray for the person after they confess, and then you confess. Nobody's getting out of the room without confessing sin, having met that week, because you have sinned that week. And if you're like, nah, I really don't think I have. It's like, awesome. It's self-righteousness. You got the big gold ticket. You're that guy. So in order to escape that, you can be like, all right, let me search my heart. Holy Spirit, search my heart, because I don't want to get the golden ticket of self-righteousness. Not again. I don't want to be that guy or girl. And so everyone confesses the sin, and you pray for each other, and what happens then too is nobody's pointing their finger or starts to take the like principal in the room, and you're the truant child, but that everyone's confessing like equal ground at the cross, and you're caring for each other. How did you feed your flesh this week? Because we all have. And then the third one, finally, to wrap up our time, is how have you fed others this week? Because we can get really, really introspective in the Christian faith. You know where Satan wants you in the spiritual war that we are in, this war that is already won? You know where he wants you? He wants you in the freaking bunker. Down there in the World War II, London's getting bombed. So I got my canned goods, my Bible, a little radio. I'm listening to the reports, and I may peek my head out once a week on Sunday to hear how bad the war is, and then, whoop, I don't want to get shot. It's like, no, no, get on the front line. Get on the front line and tell somebody about Jesus. Brad Clark in here, I was talking to him earlier. And he's like, yeah, I was talking to my Muslim, Iranian, checkout friend at Tom Thumb, Hossein. Lord God, save Hossein. And he is going to. But every week, hey, how have you fed others? Have you taken that chocolate jelly belly and given it to somebody? Are you just keeping them all for yourself? Are you just getting fat on jelly bellies, on chocolate jelly bellies? Are you actually giving them out to somebody else? Because God gave those to you to share. You're a conduit, not a container of all that love of Christ. So you've been at the spiritual buffet of feeding the Spirit. Now get out there and run. Go exercise. Go feed others. And don't keep it all to yourself. And so that is a good accountability and proactive way of being like, man, you're right. And I just answered that I haven't been feeding others for 2 weeks in a row. And so I'm going to talk to my waitress. I'm going to talk to my trash guy that comes. You know, I'm going to talk to my coworker. I'm going to disciple the kids that are in my house, or I'm going to, you know what? This is the way I'm going to feed others. I'm going to give. I'm going to give sacrificially. It's you know, money's kind of been grabbing me lately, and I'm going to give to X, Y, or Z ministry, and I'm not talking about PETA. Like, you may love the fact, you may love cats and dogs, and you don't want to see any of them go homeless, but I'm talking about furthering the kingdom of God. You give to an organization that will never end the kingdom of God. And that may be a way. Or you serve in the name of Christ. Random acts of kindness are bogus. You attach them to Jesus. Man, can I tell you why I did what I just did? That's just a drop in the bucket compared to how much God loves you. And I think he sent me here to show you that. That's why I did what I did. And so that's what you do. You take those three questions, those three jelly bellies. You had one good, one bad, and one that you needed to give away. And you take your community group time, and it doesn't have to be the whole time, because you may be like, yeah, but what, when do we talk about my job change? And I do have this marriage issue. Not the whole time. This is like a 20 to 30 minute round table, depending on how many people are in the group. And you all go around the horn. How'd you feed your spirit? How'd you feed your flesh? How'd you feed others? And that will transform your community group. Not because it's some community group tip and trick from Watermark. It's what the Lord says to do. As he says, to abide, to confess and repent, and to go make disciples of every nation. And that, friends, will be transformative. And the kingdom of God will break forth in you and through you, and God will get all the glory. And so let's do it. Let's do it. Thank you for giving me your time tonight. Let me pray for you all. And I'm so grateful. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters gathered in this room tonight. Thank you so much, Lord, for their patience with me, as I know it's been a long night. But I thank God for these who have been here on a Thursday night, Lord, to come and learn what you would have them do as they shepherd each other, to make truth taste good, because we speak the truth in love just as you do with us. You're so loving, Lord, as you give us your truth. And Lord, that our community groups would be transformed by what we ingest, soul food, that we would ingest things of the Spirit, that we would reject things of the flesh, and that we would make our lives all about feeding others. Lord, transform us for the kingdom, not for Watermark, not for community groups, that no one except you would get the glory, and that the kingdom of God would break forth in power, grace in us first, those in our groups, to the ends of the earth, because your kingdom will never end. We love you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.